This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, as well as my patron saint, gets little coverage in sacred scripture. In fact, if you read the gospel stories closely, Joseph's spoken words are never recorded. Whether it is this story that we heard today, Joseph taking the Holy Family to Egypt to escape King Herod, or Joseph and Mary looking for Jesus as a young boy in the temple, we never hear Joseph's words. Instead, we see his actions. In today's gospel reading, Joseph is presented with a dilemma. Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant with a child who is not his. Now, he has the right to publicly reject her as his wife, which could mean that she would be disowned or maybe even killed for bringing dishonor to her family. Instead, he decides to divorce her quietly in the hopes that whomever the father of her unborn child is will come forward and take her as his wife. Joseph chose the second option because he was honorable, a worthy choice to be the foster father of the Son of God. And then after he had made his decision, an angel appears to him in a dream. The son of Mary is the Son of God through the Holy Spirit, he is told. Now Mary has already said yes to God's plan, but now Joseph is asked to play his part. In Mary's case, her response is recorded, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Joseph's yes, as I said before, is not recorded in terms of his words, but it is recorded in terms of his actions. He took Mary into his home, thus completing the process of them becoming husband and wife. As the angel spoke with Joseph to persuade him to follow God's will, he pointed out that this was to fulfill the prophecy that we heard in today's first reading from Isaiah. "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The text points out for those of us who don't speak the Hebrew that it means God is with us. So why is it so important that the Savior be God and be with us? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. The punishment of original sin was a just one because the human family had rejected their Creator, had rejected God. Thus, only God can wipe out that punishment. So to satisfy this justice, it required that the Savior of the world be God, or in this case, the Son of God. O come, thou rod of Jesse's stem, from every foe deliver them that trust thy mighty power to save and give the victory o'er the grave. Since that original sin was an inappropriate use of the God-given gift of free will, the Son of God had to willingly choose to suffer and die for us, as only a mortal human being can do. Thus, the Savior of the world has to be both God and human. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to celebrate God's action of love, sending his only begotten Son to become one of us, to save us, we recall Joseph, whose actions spoke louder than anyone's words in protecting and caring for Mary, the Mother of God, and Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so we sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.